got to be aware of the inbounder here if you're Philly.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
That was last night's Game 7 between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Toronto Raptors. Credit to TNT and Kevin Harlan for that awesome call. He's one of the best in the business. And we're here today for our special show, our little NBA / NHL conference finals breakdown. I'm Ben Dixon alongside Doug Satuca. Mike Garafa producing today. Maybe if he has something to say, he'll get on the mic. But I think he's good with just producing today. But it's good to be back on the mic. Doug, how you doing, buddy?
I am good. Wow, what a Mother's Day filled with basketball and two terrific contests. As we know, Portland Trail Blazers move on, and so do the Toronto Raptors. And it's just going to be a great conference finals, both in the West and the East, and some different teams in there. You know, we haven't really seen Portland advance or Toronto, and Milwaukee's a new team as well. Only team that we're familiar with are the Warriors, of course.
Once LeBron leaves the East, you know it's going to be a different team from, from that conference. But just to start with last night's Toronto-Philly game, pretty low scoring the whole game. Toronto ended up winning 92-90. Kawhi Leonard with 41 points, really just a great performance overall. He took a career-high 39 shots, only made 16 of them, and was only 2-for-9 from three, but came up clutch when it counted in the fourth quarter. Serge Ibaka off the bench was the difference, plus 22 in terms of plus-minus. He had 17 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and out of those 8 rebounds, 4 of them came offensively. Toronto dominated
on the offensive boards. 16 to 5.
I mean, it was crazy. Really, just an overall pretty good performance from Toronto. Serge Ibaka was definitely, I think, the X factor in that game. Because for Toronto, you always need that second guy to step up. You have Leonard with 41. Lowry only had 10. He's your second best player. Siakam, maybe your second best player too, or your third best player. He only had 11. So Ibaka coming off the bench, giving him those good minutes, a plus 22. A remarkable stat in a basketball game. It really is. And he came up clutch for them. Looking on the Philly side of things, Joel Embiid, 21 points, 11 rebounds, 8-for-9 from the line, 6-for-18 from the field. I mean, he was crying after the game. You saw it. I mean, people were killing him for it. I don't love the guy, but if you've never cried after a competitive game or a competitive series losing, yeah, I mean, you don't love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's an emotional loss, 100%. You can't fault the guy for crying.
No.
I mean, he just put his blood, sweat, and tears into a
exactly.
series. The guy is hobbling around. He's sick throughout the whole series, could barely play, and he still went to work. But if you look at the Philadelphia 76ers, five guys who played plus 40 minutes or plus. The rest, the next highest minute getter was Ennis with 14. Then you go Michael Scott with 11, and then the rest, Greg Monroe at 2 minutes. So you're talking Butler, 43 minutes, Tobias Harris, 42, Joel Embiid, 45, Redick, 40, and Ben Simmons, 42. Your big five right there played practically the whole entire game. That's definitely, fatigue had to be an issue there. And whoever was watching, the last few minutes on offense looked lethargic, almost inept offensively.
It was really
could not
bad.
Get the ball inside, was working
they
it around the
they
paint.
They didn't post up Embiid at all.
Exactly.
Which doesn't make any sense to me because the guy's just dominant once you get him.
You know what?
Low.
It must have been something where they didn't want to get it to Embiid due to fatigue, or maybe he just wasn't feeling it. I don't know. They seem to be going with Butler down the stretch there, and the shots just weren't available. And credit to Toronto defensively.
Yeah, I was just about
did
to say
an
that.
Outstanding job.
There were about three or four possessions in a row where they forced a couple shot clock violations within them. And they just absolutely smothered Philly defensively. They tried to get Redick coming off of picks to the top of the key. They hedged on him very nicely. Didn't allow him to get off those shots. Very good job by Toronto defensively. Have to credit them. But you can't really talk about the end of the game without talking about Kawhi at the line with the chance to ice it. Toronto up two. He hits the first. He misses the second. Excuse me, not to ice it. I think
it would have. Yeah, it would have been to put them up.
I think it would have been to put them up three.
Three, correct. Right. And then the outlet pass. Yep.
He made the first, missed the second. Butler just in transition, layup to tie the game. I mean, he's pretty clutch, Jimmy Buckets. I mean,
he's legit.
You can say whatever you want about the guy's locker room sort of fit, but he came up clutch for Philly when it mattered. And overall, just a great game. An unreal shot by Kawhi. My dad and I were talking about last night how we've literally never seen anything like that happen.
Unbelievable.
He could shoot that shot maybe 1,000 times, and he'd get that roll once.
Yeah, totally. And to what you said before about Serge Ibaka, the bench really was the X factor in this game. If you think about it, the starting five with Siakam, Leonard, Gasol, Lowry, and Green, those are your starting five guys. But Serge Ibaka off the bench, 29 minutes. You already said his stat line. That extra guy off the bench who on most teams would be a starter. Ibaka is a very credible player, a legitimate, like, could be a starter on most teams as a power forward option, was in Oklahoma for quite a while. And then Van Fleet with 15 minutes off the bench gives Lowry a little bit of a rest up top at the guard position. And that to me is the difference right there. Seven guys that you're throwing out there played at least 15 minutes or more. And for Philadelphia, you're really throwing your five big guys out there. And they ended up losing the game by two. Could have went either way. Just the four bounces and it goes in. And if you looked at the shot, it went off the side rim and bounced straight up.
It was unreal.
I've never seen that in my life.
But in a basketball game, you know, once the ball goes straight up into the air, there's that 50-50 shot. It's gone right in the basket. But just not to move away from the whole East, I want to talk about the other Game 7 yesterday, which was epic. And then we'll talk a little bit about those conference finals coming up. Trailblazers-Nuggets, just an awesome game. Portland was down 17 in the second quarter. They end up winning outright 100-96, really clutch free throw shooting down the stretch by Portland, and not so clutch free throw shooting down the stretch by Denver. Jokic missed the free throw down the stretch. I mean, he's been great. I mean, he's one of the up-and-coming stars in the game. Really a pleasure to watch. But you look at Portland, how they got this done. Your star player, Damian Lillard, does not have a great night. He shoots 3-for-17 from the field.
Horrific.
He did hit a big three in the coming stretches of the fourth quarter, but you don't win that game without CJ McCollum's really just star performance. And as a college basketball fan, it's crazy to see this backcourt of Damian Lillard, a guy who went to Weber State, and CJ McCollum, the guy who went to Lehigh, two mid-major, not well-known schools, just absolutely dominate the league. Probably the second best backcourt in the league behind Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Golden State, who they will go against next round. But let me just read you CJ McCollum's stat line here: 37 points in 45 minutes, 17-for-29 from the field. I mean, he was just cooking them from mid-range. He had 9 boards, only 1 assist. But, I mean, those 37 points really tell the story. He hit the dagger at the end, the little step back over Torrey Craig to ice the game. Really just some performance from him and some job by the Blazers to come out of there with the dub on the road. Denver didn't lose to anyone twice on their home court all the season.
Wow.
And Portland, they were the best home team in the league, and Portland beat them twice in Denver that series. Credit to them. Really fun series to watch. And I'm excited to see you next round.
Yeah, one thing to say about Denver, they have an impressive future.
Oh, definitely. This is just the start.
It's going to be exciting. They've got a group of guys, a great core here. You got Murray, Harris, Barton, and Jokic. I mean, and Craig. I mean, you've got your starting five right there, and you've got a legitimate chance to make some noise in the playoffs for seasons to come. But with the Trailblazers, two things I want to hit up. Turner last night, Evan Turner, when I was watching, he just seemed, he's not a guy that a lot of people know.
He was great in college at Ohio State, but he hasn't really had that impact that everyone has thought in the pros, I guess, so far. He's been bouncing around from...
Yeah, I thought last night he made a couple of nice shots, definitely got to the basket, and he just seemed like a spark off the bench. Played 19 minutes, had 14 points, 7 boards, 2 assists.
I mean, he was 8 for 9 from the line, too.
Yeah. So he was getting to the line, going hard to the rack, and making a difference off the bench for them. And I just thought, for a guy who has struggled at the professional level, I thought he had a solid Game 7 and could definitely have an impact against Golden State in the next round.
Yeah, something to watch out for there, though. Rodney Hood did leave the game, I think, with a hyperextended knee or leg injury, something like that.
A guy who's rediscovered himself here in the playoffs.
Yeah, couldn't hit a shot to save LeBron's life last year in the playoffs, but has been great for Portland. We'll see on his availability next round. But
yeah, and with the Blazers, one more thing. Enes Kanter, ex-New York Knick.
Just tossed him on the side of the street, say, we don't even want to play you.
Guy plays 40 minutes last night, 12 points, 13 boards, but he has not
right,
eaten.
This is a great story. This is a great
he
story.
He did not eat, I believe, since the day before, correct? He hadn't eaten anything. He's not able to drink anything due to Ramadan.
I think Ramadan, yeah. I think he woke up at 3:30 a.m. and he was eating pasta, protein bars, whatever he had in his room. He had a fridge.
Yep.
That Portland made sure they had a fridge in his hotel room. And he during the game, he couldn't drink during timeouts.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Guy played 40 minutes.
40 minutes. And still being that productive. He was 12 points, 13 boards, 6 for 13 from the field without having a sip of water. I play 5 minutes in my intramural basketball game running up and down the floor, and I feel like I'm going to pass out.
Dude,
it's kind of neat.
I play an inning of baseball, and I'm running for water. You know, you just like a little bit, just need a little bit of water just to pick yourself up. You know, you're a little dehydrated. That guy just played 40 minutes nonstop just going to work on the glass. I mean, and he was effective everywhere. This Enes Kanter was one of my favorite players in the New York Knicks. Came to my camp as some of our followers would know, but Enes Kanter is very skilled offensively. Defensively does have some holes, but he's just a heart and soul guy, does everything for the team to win, and exactly what this Portland squad needed. And they have a chance to do some damage against Golden State in the next round.
Definitely. And talking about that series now, we'll move to the Western Conference Finals. Golden State opening up as 8-point favorites at home. That series starts Tuesday after the draft lottery, which I'm sure we'll cover on Thursday on
Let's
the Colts Corner
Knicks.
Podcast. But you look at the series, it's really a lot of uncertainty. For Portland, you don't know if Rodney Hood's going to come back. He's a big X factor for them. For the Warriors, you don't know when Durant's coming back.
Or if
he's coming back. And there's rumors that DeMarcus Cousins comes back. So, I mean, if you're looking at a Golden State squad with literally 5 all-stars. You got Durant, Curry, Thompson, Green, and DeMarcus Cousins.
It's unfair.
With Iguodala coming off the bench. I mean, that's the series. But there are some storylines in the series to talk about. You have the two brothers going at it, Seth Curry, who I think finished second in the NBA in three-point percentage this year against Steph Curry. The two brothers in a conference final, first time that's ever happened. And another storyline, you have Damian Lillard coming to play in his hometown of Oakland. In a potential series with a trip to the finals on the line. I mean, there's definitely a lot of background stories to look out for. From a basketball standpoint, though, I mean, does the series go more than 6 games?
Well, I mean, you nailed it right on the head. It depends. Is Kevin Durant in the lineup? Is DeMarcus Cousins in the lineup? If both of them are not in the lineup, then we've got a series.
Yeah.
If one of them are in the lineup, I think it's going to be difficult for Portland to win a game or two. I mean, it's going to be McCollum and Lillard are going to have to go ham. You know, and Enes Kanter's going to have to win his battle inside. Because if DeMarcus Cousins is not on the floor, there's a hole at center.
Well, Looney's been pretty good for him. So,
but Looney is not.
He's not the player
a role
DeMarcus
player.
Cousins.
Exactly.
Right.
So Kanter has an opportunity to win that matchup. But, I mean, it just, all the stats are in favor of Golden State, except for free throw percentage, which, I mean, it could come down to free throw percentage, you know, but think about who's getting the ball in crunch time. It's Kevin Durant. It's Steph Curry. They can make their free throws. But on the other side, it's McCollum and Lillard.
Both guys are pretty clutch, but I really don't think, I mean, games come down to free throws all the time. Close games come down to free throws all the time.
Totally.
I mean, that's definitely something to look at here. But I think if you're looking at both these teams, they have guys who have ice in their veins coming down the stretch, can ice out games. So, I mean, I could be wrong. I don't expect to see any blown free throws down the stretch. We'll see what happens. If it's even a close game.
One more stat to touch up on. I spoke about the free throw percentage, where Portland's second in the NBA. And in rebounding, they're third in the NBA. Offensive boards, they're third as well, where Golden State's 11th and tied for 21st. So going with that, with rebounding stats, Portland has an advantage. But other than that, Golden State, if they're healthy or somewhat healthy, at least get one of the two guys back in KD or Cousins, I don't see how they lose this series. I'd love to see Portland continue on this streak.
I'm rooting for him, definitely.
And just keep going to work, but it's going to be really difficult, and I don't see it.
Yeah, it'll definitely be something to look out for that series. The Warriors definitely the better team as of now and expected to win in probably five or six games. But we'll touch up on the Eastern Conference Finals before moving into to hockey. Raptors-Bucks, I mean, the storyline here, it's Kawhi Leonard versus Giannis Antetokounmpo, two of probably the top 10 players in the world today. Will be something to watch. Milwaukee's favored by 6.5 at home in game one. But looking at this series, it's really about the star power. Kawhi and Giannis, I do think Milwaukee's deeper than Toronto is in terms of guys that can step up and score the basketball. They got Eric Bledsoe. Brook Lopez didn't have a great series against Boston, but nails a ton of his threes. A guy that's emerged from recently, Pat Connaughton, the kid from Notre Dame.
Yep.
He's had a major shutdown Kyrie Irving in the series against Boston. Malcolm Brogdon for the Bucks. I mean, they got great depth compared to Toronto, who only played seven guys in that game seven yesterday. And they're gonna need more than Kawhi Leonard to step up. They need a consistent Kyle Lowry the series. A consistent Pascal Siakam, and they need that emergence of the fourth guy, maybe Marc Gasol to step up, or Ibaka or Van Fleet off the bench, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, also for the Bucks, Chris Middleton was a guy.
Middleton, forgot about him too.
An all-star this year, correct?
Right, definitely.
So there's another star player for the Bucks, but it comes down to what you said before. It's Kawhi against Giannis, and Kawhi's going to have one of the best series he's ever had. You know what I mean? One of the best series that we've seen in the playoffs in a long time. He's going to have to go to work, and he's done that. I mean, he has been outstanding. We heard the shot before that bounced around four times and connected. But for Toronto, I think Marc Gasol is going to have to...
I mean, they traded for him for a reason.
He's going to have to somehow contain... Giannis. I don't know how he's going to do it, if that means holding him under 40 points.
Yeah,
I guess that's the role he has to play.
I think you'll see Toronto come at him really by committee. I think you're going to see a lot of different guys on him, see what works. Could try Kawhi on him, even though with the major height difference.
Totally.
But
athletically, they're
pretty even.
Yeah.
Athletic. I mean,
in the matchup against Gasol, Antetokounmpo is just on another level.
He might bully him around a little bit. But Gasol, experienced NBA veteran.
Totally.
Could play some mind games with him. You never know. But we'll move on to the NHL here. We'll stay in the East. Carolina, Boston. This series is over, in my opinion. Boston just with an absolute demolition of the Carolina Hurricanes yesterday. 6-2. And I don't even think it was that close, to be honest with you. What was it? The game started 6-0, correct?
It was 6-0,
It was
6-0.
I mean, I really don't want to see Boston win another championship. My dad and I were talking about this yesterday. In the NHL, it's almost like you don't want to sweep. You sweep, you come out the next series rusty, and the other team's ready to go. The Islanders swept, the Hurricanes swept them, and the Hurricanes just swept the Islanders, and it looks like... The Bruins are ready to sweep them under the doormat as well.
I mean, I think Justin Williams summed it up perfectly.
Sometimes you eat a, what do you say?
A poop sandwich.
A poop sandwich, right.
And there it is. That's just what it was, 6-0. Both games were on the road, and the first game was a little bit closer than the second game. First game was 5-2. Second game finished at 6-2. So right now, Boston's having their way. just depth-wise, they are superior to Carolina, who is still dealing with a couple of injuries to some of their star players. But the series is going back to Carolina, where we know there's a huge advantage for the Hurricanes. Their fans are completely invested. It only takes one win to get yourself back on track. It's a must-win in Game 3 for Carolina.
I just think they're outmatched, though, to be honest with you.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. And if we're talking about the goalie matchup, it's just a complete mismatch here. Tuukka Rask has been unreal this series. And Peter Mrazek, as we know, was dealing with that injury. Their head coach decided to go with Mrazek for these first two games. I don't know if they decide to switch it up with McElhinney was spectacular in round two. Yep. I don't know if Brendan Moore, the head coach, decides to make a move there, but it probably makes sense. You know, 5 goals given up in the first game, 6 in the second game, so they might need a little bit of a change up, and they'll have a change of scenery, so maybe the return to home will do them some good.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. We'll look at the West Series now. The San Jose Sharks are up 1-0 on the St. Louis Blues. Game 2 is tonight at 9:00 on NBC Sports Network. That game's in San Jose, as was the first one. And Doug, tell me what you think of the series. I think it will end up being pretty competitive. Maybe not if San Jose goes up 2-0, but I do think these two teams are pretty evenly matched here.
Yeah, I mean, the storyline in this series, or at least for San Jose, is the return of Joe Pavelski. Any hockey fan who knows, Game 7 against the Vegas Golden Knights, Pavelski was tossed around a bit, fell on his head, was bleeding through the helmet. San Jose was given a 5-minute major. They scored 4 goals, down 3-0, scored 4 goals on the major penalty, came all the way back, and now they're in the Western Conference Finals, which we're speaking about right now. But Joe Pavelski has been something else this series. He has emerged as he's just taken over. His leadership qualities are there. The talent for San Jose might be a little bit better compared to St. Louis, but St. Louis's role players have done a nice job.
I mean, we were watching this game Saturday night a little bit. St. Louis dominated him. San Jose dominated him.
Yeah, it wasn't close early. Eventually, it tightened up a bit. San Jose made a run for it.
3-2 was the closest.
St. Louis made a run for it. Yeah, it was 3-2.
It was 1-1 also in the first, but San Jose went up 3-1, and once they went up 5-2, they didn't really
then it was
look
over.
Back after that.
Yeah, but this series is closer than a 6-3 final, I think. I think San Jose is going to win it, but St. Louis definitely has some talent there. I'm not going to say they don't. Tarasenko defensively, they have a great core, but I think San Jose with Carlson, Vlasic, Burns, their defense is solid, and offensively they've got guys all over who can score the puck, led by who I was talking about, Joe Pavelski. Joe Thornton, a guy who has not really stepped up here. He's kind of flown under the radar. Obviously, one of the older players, probably fatigue is a factor, but he could still have an impact. Jumbo Joe has a lot of playoff experience. Was with this team when they lost in the Stanley Cup Finals a few years ago. So that Jones is a guy, Joe Thornton's a guy who they could rely on as this series progresses. But for St. Louis, Ryan O'Reilly, their top center, was acquired in the offseason. He's been their best player. But I think San Jose, with Couture, Pavelski, Meyer, Hurdle, just the offensive power is there, and they get offense from their defense as well. So for me, I think we're going to see San Jose and we're going to see Boston in a Stanley Cup final, and I'm hoping San Jose can get it done.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. Don't know as much about the West in hockey as I do about the East, but you look at the standings back in January. St. Louis Blues were dead last in the Western Conference. So this has been a pretty good story for them to come all the way here. They could be overmatched by Did I say San Jose was in last? I meant St. Louis was correct. In last. They could be overmatched by San Jose. Two very familiar cities in terms of saying Saint, you know.
Yeah, totally. You can get that confused.
Gets a little confusing.
Totally.
But I think that's all we had to cover today. We went through both game sevens in the NBA, both conference finals coming up, and both conference finals currently happening in the NHL. Should be great stuff if you're not enjoying this this time of year as a sports fan. What are you doing?
You're doing something wrong. Probably watching Game of Thrones.
Exactly. And actually, our group chat last night, there's about 10 guys in it, and about half of the group chat was talking about the basketball game, and half of them was watching Game of Thrones. What are you doing? You got to watch Game 7. Come on. But
I don't disagree with you there.
Anyways, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to everyone. We roll out the full list of credits on Thursday during the Colts Corner podcast. We'll thank them all then. And alongside today's producer, Michael Garaffa, you got anything to say?
Yes, let's go Mets.
And the Mets stink. But alongside Garaffa, Doug Stuka, I'm Benjamin Dixon. We will see you later this week for the Colts Corner podcast.